Yes, and welcome to another edition of Mind, Body and Chow here on Radio Islam International. In a few seconds, we'll be joined by Ronald Evergy and we'll be discussing cellulite. Yes, you can send your questions through from now. So by the time we're done with the workout, you can get your questions in. And thereafter, at about 13:45, we'll be joined by Faiza Munshi and we'll be discussing all things generosity. So you can interact with us on these mediums as we head into the verbal fitness sessions.
Hello, is anybody out there?
Interact now. SMS 488-55. WhatsApp 072-786-1548. Or tweet ejaz at ejaz _k.
Can you hear me calling?
Here we go.
I'm so tired.
Don't be. It's time for verbal fitness sessions on Mind, Body and Chow.
Indeed, it is time now for the verbal fitness sessions and Ronald joins us on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ronald.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my brother. Are you well?
I'm doing well, alhamdulillah. How are you doing?
I am great, thank you. I can just see the rain creeping up in the northern part of Joburg,
yes.
So looking forward to it cooling things down.
Indeed, and I'm sure you enjoyed it yesterday. You were looking forward to it, I remember.
No, I did. And it came in just about the time I was about to do my home workout, but I didn't do it outdoors. I rather did it indoors, So it was still a win-win situation.
Brilliant stuff. So we're all set, Ronald, for today's workout.
Well, today's workout, again, is cardio and abs.
Okay.
You know, everyone's chasing that elusive six-pack or those toned tummies.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do some exercises for that today. For the judges, if you can't go on the floor, that's not a problem. Let everybody else at home or wherever they may be, stop, go on the floor and try these exercises and we do go down there.
Okay.
So the first thing we're going to do is warm the body up. And all that I want us to do is literally do those things we call the buttocks kickers. So standing upright and you're going to literally one leg at a time lift the heel to the buttock and drop it down and then change legs and drop it down. And you can go as fast as you can. What this does is it warms the joints up, it loosens up the hip flexors and the thighs and really begins to get the blood flowing from the heart right down into the legs so that you get the entire body warm for the ab workout ahead. So these buttock kickers you do for at least 60 seconds. Let's go for it. Buttock kickers, heel to bum, heel to bum, heel to bum. You know, go as fast as you can. And don't, if you can't reach your buttock because you're of knee inflexibility, go as far back as you can. There's no stress with that. So keep on going for 60 seconds. And then from there, you're going to stop it down. And the next exercise, again, just to get some cardio going, I want us to keep our feet wider than shoulder width apart like we're doing a normal squat.
All right.
Okay? And I want you then to bend your knees down. But this time, I want your hands to touch the floor. And then you're going to jump up slightly and reach up to the sky. So as you go down, you bend the knees, hands touch the floor, jump up, and hands up to the sky. This is a plyometric type exercise. And, you know, it gives you a different effect of cardio, high intensity on the body, but also very focused on those legs. This you do for at least 30 seconds. If you can do for more than 15 the first round, you've done very well. So touch it down, jump up, touch the ceiling, down, touch up, down, touch up. So it's a fairly rhythmed exercise. Keep it going. Three more, two more, and one. Relax it down. Now, everybody, onto your backs. And what I want you now to do is place your hands underneath your buttocks to give you some support. Ensure that your shoulders, head, and hips are on the floor. I want you to keep your knees straight. All you're going to now do is lift your feet 5 centimeters from the floor. And I want you to bend your knees into your chest and straighten the knees out again. Bend the knees into chest and straighten the knees out again all the time to that 5 centimeter point off the ground. Now, this exercise is a variation on a reverse crunch, but you do this for at least 30 repetitions. Keep it going. Don't stop. Nice and controlled. Don't do it too quickly because you're removing the effect of the abs. You're focusing on doing it slow and controlled. Great. Now, the next one that you're going to do is keep your head on your side and sit up. Knees are straight. Then I want you to bend your knees, and from that position, with your hands on your side, make sure that only your fingertips are now on the floor, and I want you to keep your back straight, because you're sitting up, and lean back as far as you can, and hold it there. Now, you might think to yourself, Ronald, this sounds so easy, but I challenge you to try it. Because by doing that, you can only go to a certain point and the body begins to shake. That's because you're engaging your core muscles or that band of abs beyond the six-pack. And that'll start to shake to give you some stability. And all you do with this exercise is hold it in that position for at least 45 seconds. And the reason I put you into that starting position and then tell you to lean back is because then anyone can do this exercise. Hold it there, and relax it down. And the last exercise, Brother Judge, for the abs, is I want you to keep your legs straight and lift your feet up so that you form 90-degree angle with your hips and your upper body.
Okay.
And I want you to reach the hands up towards your toes. Keep your knees straight. Don't bend your knees. And all that I want you to do is let your fingertips touch your tippy toes. Small motion, controlled motion, and do that for at least 30 seconds. It's a variation on a modified crunch exercise, but by lifting your feet up, you begin to isolate those abs more, and you prevent swinging upwards and downwards. And that's how easy today's workout is.
Brilliant stuff, and yes, you can feel the burn, as they say.
I can smell the burn from this side. Welcome, everybody.
All right, stuff now, good stuff. Now we go into the discussion, Ronald, and something that, tends to get a lot of women, talking. Cellulite. What causes cellulite?
You know, the one thing about cellulite is that death taxes and cellulite are all the great equalizers because it doesn't discriminate. And most women of all ages and sizes, yes, even skinny women will at least get, 90% of them will at least have some form of cellulite throughout their lifetimes. Now, what causes cellulite? That's a very interesting question. Everybody has a smooth layer of body fat just beneath the skin, and that functions as an insulator, a cushion for organs, a storage for energy. But cellulite has got that lightly orange peel texture, and the non-medical term is subcutaneous tissue. However, these cells contain fats and fluids, and they are trapped beneath the skin, deep beneath the skin. And as they swell and pull down on the overlying skin, it then bulges up into pockets against connective tissue. And these cause the indentations. And this really results in affecting the subcutaneous fat tissue, and that's why you can literally begin to see the orange peel effect on the skin. So what causes it? As you age, there's a decrease in estrogen in the body for women, and because of that, estrogen has got a very, very, very particular role in the body, okay, in the context that it helps regulate the blood vessels, to keep blood vessels flowing smoothly and blood to flow smoothly. So the less estrogen you have, the more the poorer circulation you have, which means you decrease in your collagen, which increases your risk of cellulite.
Right, this one coming from a sister says, I am a thin woman, but I have cellulite. Why?
You know, being overweight does not make the appearance of cellulite more noticeable or that it's only exclusively for you. As I explained to you now, women are affected more by cellulite. Even though 10% of men are also affected, 90% of women are, irrespective of your size, thin, fat, or small built or big built. The reason is this, like I said to you, that women have a lot more fatty tissue than men, especially in the hips and the ab areas and the leg areas. So that means that when the hormone fluctuations happen with the menstrual cycles, you find that there's a fluctuation of estrogen and progesterone. And as I explained to you, when the estrogen and progesterone fluctuate, there's poorer circulation, collagen gets affected, lack of exercise, poor eating, and that also contributes to it because you're living an unhealthy lifestyle, so you find there's a lot more fat deposits. So that will affect you, whether you're thin or whether you're fat, because it's not an overweight issue only.
Okay, you mentioned there that only 10% of men get it. But I see our friend out in Mauritius and his army saying, Assalamu alaikum, how do you eliminate the cellulite around the knee area like white marks? I think he's talking about stretch marks.
You know, stretch marks are a very different equation. You know, stretch marks affect a lot of people, especially, you know, yes, pregnant women, we know that. But also, stretch marks are associated with people who are overweight, so the skin stretches. And then they lose weight very quickly. And when that happens, you find that reduction in weight very quickly causes the fat to decrease and the muscle to increase, but the skin doesn't go back to normal. The skin still has that elasticity to it, and that causes stretch marks. And stretch marks are literally, you've got to be so wary thereof, because there are certain creams that you could take. Yes, you can. Will you remove it totally? No, you won't, because it's affected by the skin, and it literally is scarring on the skin. So when you do lose weight, whether it's Arm and others out there, do it gradually, because by doing it gradually, you still give the skin a time to maintain its elasticity, to tighten as you go through, because your eating habits will change. You're eating the good fats, etc. as well, and that will minimize your risk of stretch marks.
Brilliant stuff. Now, you've explained to us about cellulite and how to identify it. The million-dollar question, Ronald, how do you get rid of it?
There's so many ways. And you know me. I mean, I will always find a solution for exercise and eating healthy.
Yeah.
And the reality is this, is that regular exercise practice cannot cure cellulite, but in many cases can help prevent it or reduce its appearance. And I explained to you earlier, cellulite occurs when connective fibers underneath the skin become weak or lose elasticity. But if you stretch and strengthen those areas, in addition to burning excess fat, you can firm and tone those muscles, will tighten the skin, giving the illusion that cellulite is less noticeable. Second thing is that toxins don't form cellulite. This is a misconception people are under. Toxins do not form cellulite, as I try to explain to you. And the reason is this, is because when you look at treatments for cellulite, many people are focused on creams. Creams don't delve deep enough to begin to rebuild those connective tissue, those collagen fibers. Can you go for dermal fillers? Will that help? Yes, it could potentially help, but it's not a long-term fix. And finally, for those people that love to wrap cellophane paper around, cellophane plastic around those areas and add heat, thinking they're going to melt it, that is also not going to work. And the reason is this is because you're not treating the deeper muscle tissue and the deeper fat tissue issue, rather. So when you do that, all you're doing is compressing the fat. So what can be done? You've got to eat healthy. You've got to make sure you've got a good water intake. You've got to ensure that you're exercising consistently. And then, of course, really manage your supplementation intake and be wary, if you're a woman, of your estrogen and your progesterone levels, because then the doctor will help give you certain supplementation to accommodate for that, such as hormone replacement therapy.
Jazakallah khair. Ronald speaking to us on the cellular, talking about cellulite. We thank you for your time today, brother. And inshallah, you have yourself a good weekend, and we'll pick up the discussion next week again on the Verbal Fitness Sessions.
Inshallah, have a wonderful weekend to everybody. Be safe and be healthy.
Shukran. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, Ronald Evergy talking to us about cellulite and the workouts. Yay, the workouts. Some tough stuff, but alhamdulillah, it's good help. Believe me, it helps you. You might not see it immediately, but you will feel the difference as you go along. So keep doing those workouts. Inshallah, it's only a few minutes of your time, and it helps a great deal. Stay tuned to Radio Islam International. After the break, we're joined by Sister Faiza Munshi, and we're talking generosity. You can interact with us. What is generosity to you? 48855 is the SMS number. WhatsApp 0727861548, or Twitter if you choose. It's at @EJAZ_K. You're listening to Mind, Body and Chow.
Interact now. SMS 48855. WhatsApp 0727861548. Or tweet EJAZ at @EJAZ_K.
Can you hear me calling?
Here we go.
Indeed. Yes, you can call us also, 011-854-1548. The lines are open throughout the show if you need or want to interact with us. It's time now to introduce Faiza Munshi. She's a former Radio Islam presenter, and she joins us on the line now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Faiza.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Jaz. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. How are you doing?
Well, alhamdulillah.
Shukr. How long has it been since you've been on radio?
It's been about 4 years.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Alhamdulillah, it's good to have you back on, Faiza. A very, very interesting discussion, generosity, right? Now, when you think of generosity, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
I guess that's a question we can ask lots of people in terms of generosity. And whenever we think of it, especially in this day and age, the first thing that would come to a person's mind would be money, financial, giving of your cash that you have. Now, I've been thinking about this, I look at it in two different ways, and that is, you know, you've got financial generosity that you've got big philanthropists that give to organizations, right? And even in that category, you've got two different types. You've got the big givers, the philanthropists, and everybody needs to know what they're giving. So it will be out there, it will be charity drives, but it will be something that you know that this person gave big money. And we often see that with celebrities and stuff. Oh, they stand for this cause and this is what they do. That's amazing. That's wonderful. But there's also a different type of philanthropist, and that is the person who gives and is very quiet about it. And that, I guess, comes from an Islamic concept of, you know, you give with what your right hand does, your left hand shouldn't know. So I guess that there's good in both ways. I mean, I guess the big philanthropist would give and say, you know what, this is what we're doing, and follow our cause and do what we are doing. So it helps in that sense that it motivates people to give. But the other side is also you get those people who give and they say, you know what, whatever we give, we hope it goes towards good. And a lot of the time that is where the real, you know, work gets done, is where people are very quiet about it. They're giving of what they have, and a lot of work is being done in that with their generosity. And I think that's a difficult one to do. Because as humans, we want some sort of validation, you know. We want to say we gave our money and everyone needs to see what we've done. But I think those that are in the position to be able to give in that sense and see the rewards from it, the rewards are a little different, you know, to the whole world knowing what they're doing. So the rewards come in different ways. They may, you know, give towards a school, for example, and say, okay, this is my cash donation towards your school. Please keep it quiet. Yeah, you can, you know, for your books or whatever, don't let the whole school know that I'm giving. And don't give my children, for example, special privileges. And I think that's where generosity really comes in, is that we can give it and we don't expect anything in return.
Indeed.
And that is a tough one as human beings to do. You know, I'm giving this, but I don't expect anything in return. I don't expect any favors, especially not towards, for example, we use a school, especially not towards my kids. And I think that would be a very big thing to do, to give, you know, of your financial self without expecting something in return. And I think that's the first thing, finances and money, that's the first thing that usually comes to mind in terms of generosity. For you, Ijaz, what would it be? Would it also be, I mean, if you look at generosity, would it be the same?
Generosity is such a, you know, not a vague, but such a huge concept. So for me, the best type of generosity is when you're able to make someone smile. You know, if you see people that are, you know, in a bad state or they look like they have the worries on their mind, if just a simple thing like a joke or something that could make them laugh, you know, you can change that person's whole day and possibly the whole situation they're in. But of course, monetary generosity, as we were speaking about it, we live in such a weird time now, Faiza, where people no longer do it as much as you were discussing now about, you know, giving without people knowing. Now it's all about, yes, me and Instagram, I'm here. In Drachensberg or whatever, giving out water. You know, those type of things, that's the time we're living in. I'm just checking out some of the messages coming on Facebook. Sister Zakira saying, generosity is not just a monetary thing, it's a kindness with words and deeds as well. Sometimes giving your time is way more valuable than giving money to someone. I see Sister Fazana saying, my idea of generosity is a smiling face and a kind heart. It's that simple, she says. If generosity is clearly a financial thing, as some would say, or, you know, think about it, what about those who don't have the means to be financially generous?
I mean, we look at, everyone's looking at budget speeches and all of that, tough economic times, recessions, that kind of thing. Yeah. I mean, if you look at generosity on financial terms, then you'd think, okay, those that don't have no way of being generous. And that's so far from the truth, because financial generosity is literally just the beginning of it, you know. And with the tough economic times, I mean, my point would be, so oftentimes we get to, I mean, if you drive around these days, lanes, you drive around any areas, you're doing school rounds, madrasa rounds, every single stop you get to, every single intersection, everywhere, there's somebody asking you for something. There's a guy with a dirt bag. There's somebody that wants to wash your windscreen. There's somebody that is just begging with a board. And some of them actually try tricks. They're standing at the you know, intersection and doing some tricks and hoping that somebody will give them a few rands. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we come to the point where we say, yeah, I'm fed up of these beggars. So, you know, I can't give every beggar, and really we can't. Mm-hmm. Every single stop you get to, you can't give the beggar. Yes, fair enough. But my point on this would be, if we can't do any good, then let's try not to do any harm. Because I don't think anyone chooses. I mean, they would easily choose to be in our car with what the clothes we have on, driving and having the food we eat, right?
Yes.
But that's not where they are. So they're standing out on the street. So in my generosity in this arena, with when it comes to beggars, would be, if we can't do any good, let's not do any harm. Oftentimes, you're in a bad mood, you feel like saying a bad word, you feel like shouting at them to go and get a job. Just generosity of your soul or of your being would be that day to say, don't say anything. Just smile and wave and say, sorry, not today. You know, I don't have anything today. Even if you don't want to smile, just don't shout at them. You know, that's my point in terms of generosity when it comes to beggars. And a simple smile, like you said, smile is, I'm serious, really sorry, nothing today. It wouldn't hurt anyone. And a smile is often said is to be sadaqah. And oftentimes we think that what we give is benefiting the beggar that we gave it to. And I recently heard something that's to the effect that what you give in sadaqah benefits you a whole lot more than it benefits the actual beggar. Because in terms of how Allah protects you and the du'as you can make when you give out that sadaqah. So in terms of generosity when you don't have anything, some of the things I would say is, you know, don't do any harm. As opposed to, you know, you can't do any good, you can't give anything financially. Be kind. Like our those that have been interacting with us have said, the sisters have said, be kind. Have a smile on your face, say a kind word, and that can be generosity. Can I throw in some things for the husbands to do for their wives?
Yes.
Of generosity?
Go for it.
I hope they're listening, because simple, oftentimes we think generosity is coming home with a bunch of flowers and chocolates and saying, here we go. But honestly speaking, when we look at our days, if you go home and your wife's had a bad day, I know you don't want to do it. You really don't want to wash those dishes. But, you know what, get your hands a little bit dirty and do a little bit in terms of housework. Even though you've had a bad day yourself, she's had a bad day, but being generous there would do so much more than that big bunch of roses. So a kind word when you walk in and you see that it's been a really bad day, get your hands stuck in there. Fill the car with petrol, for example. I'm putting it all out there to the men. You can give the women tips of what they need to
do. You look like you've got a list here, Faiza. You look like you have a list.
I might have a list. I won't go through the whole list because I get myself into a bit of trouble. And there's a few other points we need to cover. But
yeah.
My point is that generosity is not just about big things. You know, it's not just going home with a beautiful bag and saying to your wife, here, I bought you something. It's about the simple things in life. It's about being able to, like I said, wash the dishes, fill the car with petrol. A good point, I learned something from someone. I won't say who because I don't want to take the reward away from this person, but I was once at a supermarket, and there was someone in front of us, and this person you could see, and he had bread and milk. And this person had been sort of scrounging. There was change, you know. She was counting up her change, literally, to pay for the bread and milk. So the person that I was shopping with said, don't worry about it. Let it go. And she looked at her like, what are you saying? She said, don't worry about it. I'll pay for it. Just go. I can't tell you the reaction on this woman's face, you know, because that was her bread and milk for the day. That is what she's working for. And somebody just gave her something extra. So that was the added extra. So it's just the simple things in life. And I think that for me is a lesson that we can all take. You know, you see someone in the... You've got to be, of course, you've got to be discerning about it. But you'll see, you'll know exactly when somebody's struggling and trying to pay for that bread and milk, and when somebody can actually do it. And so that's another way, I think, of adding kindness and generosity to the world.
Indeed. Now, earlier on, you were speaking about husbands and how they can be generous. Now, how do we rope our kids in? How do kids view generosity?
Kids, I think they see us as buying them big gifts and then we're generous. Unfortunately, that's the time we're in. So this avenue is a little bit more tricky. So we've got to teach them in small ways. We started, I think, with generosity in terms of children is how they behave with each other as siblings, because that's their first, with us as parents and then with their siblings. And also, so we need to shift this thinking, because they think every time we put our hand in our pocket, we're being generous to them. We need to teach them that when we're being kind to them, when we're speaking, so we can be change their thinking by in terms of generosity the same way. When they get that big stack of ED in their envelope and they're ready to buy their big gift, maybe one way of doing it would be, you know what, entice them to say, you know what, there's so many people that need. Take out what you want to take out just to give somebody that's in need, and we let them give it out to the next beggar or whoever it is. Even if it's like the smallest amount that they take out, as it comes into their heart with giving and the smile they see on the person's face when they give it, they'll learn that generosity does have a good, you know, it's got its benefits. They'll feel nice about it. And slowly they'll say, you know, I can give a little bit. So as we go, let's just try and take generosity away from the things, the big things we give them, mm-hmm. and more in terms of the time we give them.
Indeed. Now, speaking about time, Faisal, we've got like a minute or so.
Oh, goodness.
And we've got gazillions of messages here on social media. Brilliant stuff, but we just can't get to them. Final question, right? What about our actions? How can we be generous as parents without digging into our wallets?
Well, I guess it comes back to the point I was saying earlier, is that teach our children that our time is just as important as the money. Our kindness towards them, our kind words towards them. The time we give to our kids, when they grow up, they'll understand there was more generosity in that than in the things that we bought for them. Because we would have taught them so many lessons in that time that they'd really, really appreciate those lessons. And like you said, you know, if we don't, as parents, the life lessons we learn, we've got to teach our kids. So it's an ongoing journey. We learn to be generous and they learn to be generous. And like I said, let's be generous in small ways so that we don't feel overwhelmed and the next day decide, you know, I can't do this anymore. So the small acts of kindness, the person on the street, give them a smile, the person that still pay for their milk and bread. Simple things. And slowly but surely we'll, you know, in our kindness, in our smiling with people and being kind to people, the generosity comes through from that. And if our children learn that, then we've got a whole new generation and a generation that we can look forward to interacting with, you know.
Indeed. And Faisal, jazakallah khair for being generous with your time and, you know, giving us so much pearls of wisdom there. Jazakallah khair for that. And
Don't forget to wash the dishes, Ijaz.
There's a problem with the earphones. I can't hear too clearly. What was that?
No,
okay, inshallah. No, we should do more, inshallah, to make it easier for our spouses. And definitely it will be appreciated. Jazakallah, one thing that is appreciated right now is your time. Jazakallah khair for it, Faisal, for joining us on Mind, Body and Chow. And yes, the time just flew by. And we thank you for your time. And you have yourself a wonderful day.
You too, Ijaz.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, Faisal Munshi there, former Radio Islam presenter, talking to us about generosity. And so interesting indeed. And our listeners have sent in so much of feedback regards to the topic, but we just don't have any time. So from the Mind, Body and Chow team, for now, till next week, Monday, inshallah, we'll pick it up once again. You keep fit, you keep cool, and keep in touch. Jaskan and Usama Basuni saying,
As-salamu alaykum.